Many of us have fantasized at some point about what it would be like to own an island. Well, software mogul Larry Ellison doesn't have to fantasize. He recently bought the Hawaiian island of Lanai, but it turns out that life isn't all hammocks and Mai Tais. As NPR's Martin Kosty reports, along with the island, Ellison also bought a relationship with the 3,000 people who live there.
We don't know how much Ellison paid for the island, for 98% of the island to be exact, but estimates run upwards of $500 million. So what do you get for that kind of money? Beautiful beaches, for starters, a view of Maui, just 8 miles away, a couple of luxury resorts built by the previous owner, and, as a bonus, some delicate history.
Nice to meet you.
I'm Mikala.
Martin Kosty, I work for NPR.
At the museum, Mikala Enfield tells the story of how an island 6 times the size of Manhattan ended up as one piece of property. It started in the 1860s with a Mormon adventurer named Walter Murray Gibson.
What he does is he buys up the land with the church money, the mission money, and by the time Brigham Young realizes what he's doing, buying up these lands, putting it in his own name, he's excommunicated but is in control of most of Lanai's lands.
This consolidation continued under a succession of owners. Enfield's ancestors sold their land in 1919 for $275.
In my family's situation, my family was told that all access would be blocked. Everything was bought out, and they wouldn't have any way in or out.
By mid-century, the island of Lanai was a plantation for Dole pineapples. Joan de la Cruz was born and raised here, and she says during the pineapple era, the island really did feel private.
Back in the 50s, the police and the company would meet the plane. If people were coming over the island and didn't have a place to stay, they put them back on the plane.
The pineapples are gone now, and it's mainly tourism that supports the residents. De la Cruz runs a general store in town, the grandly named International Food and Clothing Center. The building belongs to Ellison. He's the landlord to almost every business on the island, and he also owns about a third of the houses. But De La Cruz says the island also has some pockets of public space.
The roads are counties, the highways are state, Hawaii, all beaches are public property. No one can own the beach.
In fact, residents of Lanai are used to having full access to the island. Robin Kay is driving on Ellison's land. He says he doesn't think twice about it. Nobody does. He's heading north.
This road goes about another mile, and it comes to an area that's called the Garden of the Gods, where you can look out and see where the 170 windmills would be.
Windmills. He's talking about a proposed wind farm to supply power to Honolulu. It's the most controversial issue on Lanai. When the previous owner, David H. Murdoch, sold the island, he kept the right to develop wind power here. Robin Kay leads the opposition, and he's unfazed by the fact that 98% of this island belongs to somebody else.
In America, you live here, I live here. The fact that I own 6,500 square feet doesn't matter. The fact is, this is my home. It is mine.
An afternoon downpour rakes the town square, also Ellison's property. Standing under a picnic shelter, Wendell Kahoahullahulla looks around and says the park is looking more spruced up lately. He says he has high hopes for the new owner.
As long as he takes care of the local people and the visitors that come to Lanai, then everything will be fine, you know?
It's a hint of what one frustrated transplant calls the medieval mindset on Lanai, a sense of dependency on the owner. But at the same time, Kahoahullahulla also says he thinks Ellison's ownership comes with an asterisk.
My mom gave birth to me on this land. When she gave birth to me on this land, the land becomes my birthright.
And that's not something anybody can buy, he says. Not even for $500 million. Martin Kosty, NPR News.